To make a long story short, a white couple drove into our community during the time that all of this was going on. They were advised to get out of their car by a group of angry citizens who were in the street, and they walked up the street to our house in our yard, talked with Rob in that yard, and tried to get Rob to take them out of the community. Of course, Rob told them, "I didn't bring you in the community, and I'm not taking you out." But eventually, those people left, and they said that they had no idea that they were kidnapped. They just thought that they had been mistreated, and they went home and forgot about the incident, but that the police and the press came, and that's what made it a so-called kidnapping. And it was decided that we, Rob especially, should leave, because otherwise they were coming in there, and he had gotten a warning that in 30 minutes he was going to be hanging from the courthouse square.
I had left North Carolina only after the chief of police had called me and said that the state troopers were coming and that in 30 minutes I would be hanging in the courthouse square. I realized that this thing was not just a local matter, that the U.S. Government had entered into the picture, that they were just as determined to destroy me as the Ku Klux Klan. So I decided that I had to leave.
The FBI had said we were traveling as a family, so we had to split up in order to survive.
That what happened in Monroe, North Carolina, had better become a lesson to the oppressors and the racist of America, because it is symbolic of a new attitude, symbolic of a new era. It means that the Negro people are becoming restless. It means that there will be many more racial explosions in the United States in days to come. Monroe was just the beginning, but I dare predict that Monroe will become a symbol of the new Afro-American, a symbol of the Afro-American determined to rid himself of the stigma of race prejudice, to rid himself of the pain and torture of race hate and oppression, the determination to rid himself of these evils, of these social evils at any cost, and that the oppressor in the United States will find, in the days to come, will find that the Negroes in their struggle are becoming more militant, and that they will find a growing attitude of exchanging blow for blow, of meeting violence with violence.
Robert and Mabel Williams and their two young sons were forced by death threats and the false kidnapping charge to flee Monroe. Their first thought was to head to New York City and their supporters there.
We left Monroe in the middle of the night, with the help of our Crusader family who had come down, thinking that we would go into New York. And when we got to New York, thinking that we were going to stay there a while, we found out that we'd been there overnight. Next morning, the FBI had issued an all-points bulletin for Rob, saying he was armed and dangerous, and was traveling in the company of his family. It was a shoot-on-sight announcement that they put out, and they also put his picture up in the post offices as one of the 10 most wanted criminals in the United States. So we thought, well, we go to Canada and then we'll be safe. We can stay there until things are cleared up and then we can come back home. And the Toronto Daily Star had a picture of Rob, about an 8.5 by 11 picture on the front page, and said that this man was a criminal, was armed and dangerous, and the FBI had asked the Royal Canadian Mounted Police to intercede and help to send him back to the United States to justice in Monroe, North Carolina. So at that point, we knew that we could no longer stay in Canada. The only other place at that point that was available to us was the possibility of going to Cuba. As it turns out, we learned later that Fidel had notified all of the Cuban embassies around the world when he found out that Rob was in trouble, that if he should show up, that they should help him in any way that they could. And so that's how we decided or got to go to Cuba.